This is Kinetic Podcast, a podcast for those with a heart for reaching kids. I'm your host, Josh Combs, and each episode you're going to hear practical insights and strategies that will hopefully inspire you to energize your kidmen. Thank you so much for listening and enjoy today's episode. You are listening to Kinetic Podcast. Thank you so much for joining us this week. This is a podcast to equip and inspire kids ministers, no matter what that might look like. If you're a Sunday school teacher, children's pastor, bus driver, whatever it is that you're involved in, we're here to inspire you, equip you, and energize your kidmen so that you can be more effective in reaching kids. It's what it's all about. We want to continue to be more effective. We want to be Bible-based. We want to be Spirit-filled, but also we want to be effective, and we want to learn and grow as our kids grow and as our society grows, that we can reach kids and we can do it the right way, but we can also do it in a way that relates to kids and that's fun for kids. And so that's what we're all about. This week's guest is Alan Skluzacek, and he is the founder of SALT Student Action Leadership Team in Louisiana, in Alexandria, Louisiana. And you're going to learn all about what SALT is. But it is an amazing ministry that takes place mainly once a year at the Louisiana District Kids Camp, which has about 950 to 1,000 kids every summer. And in that, SALT is a team ministry that empowers young adults and teenagers that come from all over Louisiana and I believe other states as well. And for that week, they are empowered. They're trained to reach kids, pray with kids, teach kids. And it's an incredible ministry, and so you'll learn about that. Alan talks about that. He also talks about how we can empower our kids and youth to walk in the supernatural, operate in our faith in the supernatural, building their faith, building others' faith. Because I think that's something that, not on purpose, but it gets put on the back burner sometimes, that we need to realize that more importantly than anything, we want our kids to live out this faith and to walk in the supernatural. And that in 2017, yes, you know, they can operate in gifts, and they can operate in the miraculous, and we believe that God can still do that and use our kids and youth to do that. So this is a great conversation. I hope you enjoy it. I hope you can take something away from it. I hope it energizes your kidmen. This is Alan Skluzacek. On today's podcast, it is so good to have Alan Skluzacek, who is from Alexandria, Louisiana. And Brother Alan started an amazing ministry team called Student Action Leadership Team, also known as SALT, about 15 years ago. And he's going to kind of explain what that is today and what are some things that we can take from that to really empower and encourage the young people, teenagers, young adults in our churches to get involved in kids ministry. Brother Alan, thank you so much for being on the podcast today.
Brother Josh, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure and honor to be here. You wanted me to talk about SALT, and I'm so happy to. SALT was started by young people. It is not about me. It is we had 10 young people that started SALT 15 years ago, and they wanted to train young people from all over the state of Louisiana, and they did. I was able to facilitate it and help them, and we got 50 young people to come from all over the state of Louisiana, and they trained them. And the first SALT training only lasted about 5 days. Today, it lasts 8 days, and it's all about the key word to use in trying to get young people involved is training and releasing. We've got to train our young people to connect, to minister, to lead, to teach, to be soul winners, but then we also have to give them opportunities where we release them. And that's what SALT is all about, putting a blessing from God. We have an inheritance. We're owners in his kingdom. We have an inheritance from the sonship of God. And that inheritance is purpose in the kingdom. That inheritance is kingdom activities. We have a part, ownership of the church, and that's what we try to do is give our young people ownership. And the best teachers are the best learners in the world are teachers. And so we make our young people teachers to the children. And it's so cool because they really do study. Mastery, excellence is a part that we also make sure they know. But they become trainers, mentors, and coaches to the children. And so they have to study the Word of God, and it's awesome to see them do it like professionals. This salt, the reason it's been so successful, we've actually trained over 2,000 young people, and we've trained over 20,000 children through those 2,000 young people. But it is a safe place where it's almost impossible to get a loss. The young people, they get wins. And it's very necessary for our young people to have wins in their lives. If they go out and start soul winning and they get a loss, they say to themselves, man, why do I want to do this? But if we set them up for a win, that's when we're going to see these young people rise up and go to their next level. And so it's a safe place for taking risks. It's a safe place. They actually brag about it as positive peer pressure. They say it's easy to worship publicly when 120 others are doing it with you. So we don't ask for volunteers. We get everybody to worship publicly. We get everybody to do all of SALT.
Now, Brother Allen, for those that aren't familiar with how SALT works, and you know those aren't familiar with when SALT takes place, can you kind of just break down the basics as far as when SALT usually meets in Louisiana and how that what that looks like, what that week and that weekend looks like, because it's a pretty big a week of training and releasing, like you say. So just kind of take us through that of what SALT looks like during the summer in Louisiana.
Well, what we do in the summertime is we have 8 days of training, and 3 days, the 3.5 days mirror the 3.5 days with the kids. We have 3.5 days of training before the kids get there, and then 3.5 days, it's 7 or 8 days when it's all said and done. But we call the kids together on Friday night, and we work them until 10 o'clock or so. Then we have some parties. The next morning, we're up at 7 o'clock, eat breakfast, and have devotions. And all day long, we train them with intense training. And it's fun, but it's intense. And we show them how to connect, how to minister, how to lead small groups, how to teach the lessons. And we actually let them do it. It's not lectures by any way, shape, or form. This, like I said, this is all engineered by young people. And so it's all workshops and clinics. And we let them teach each other right there on the spot. But then all day Saturday we train, and then Sunday morning we go into some more training. And we mirror the actual schedule that goes on the next week with the kids when they arrive on Monday afternoon. Sunday night we finish up, and we do have fun. We have plenty of fun. There's no doubt about it that we make all of the training fun so that it's not drudgery. Drudgery is a sin. Drudgery is not in the will of God. And we make sure that everything is fun. And so we feel like we're making it so that they're totally prepared with excellence when the kids arrive. Then the kids arrive on Monday night. We break them down into small groups on Monday evening after church. And then Tuesday, they almost wake up the kids, but we meet at the pavilion. And they're with the kids for 6 or 8 hours in small groups. And then they also escort them to services that we have. And so it's a very intense week. By the time the week is over, they are definitely worn out, but they know they've made a difference. They know that they've been a leader. They know that God has used them. And at the end of the week, they can say, I could do this forever. And that's what they often say.
Definitely. And I've gotten to see it firsthand. I've got to experience it several times. And it's an incredible, incredible thing. And those that aren't aware, this is going on, alongside with a kids camp of over, what was the attendance this year? Was it 1,000 kids this year at the kids camp? That's amazing. And so it's really a camp within a camp. And like you said, they're exhausted, but they're changed at the end of it because they've poured themselves into these kids. And on the flip side, you know, you have poured into them and other leaders have poured into them, and it's a life-changing thing. And so you kind of given us the structure of how it works, and those that aren't familiar with it of how SALT works. But what is your goal, Alan, as far as when they leave that week, that Friday, after all of the parties and all of the prayer and all of the training and all of just that life changing? What is your goal that you want each SALT member to walk away with?
Well, I have to say this in several goals. One is no one is left behind. And by saying that, I mean that everyone has a place in SALT. There's no big I's, no little U's, and no one fights alone. Everyone has a job. And so everyone that comes to SALT goes back to their church a minister. And that is so cool because, you know, they might not have even a children's ministry, but they could start one. And we oftentimes do have kids that start children's ministry, or they go back and they help with the children's ministry. But even if they don't go into children's ministry, they definitely know how to connect. They definitely know how to minister. They definitely know how to lead. They become soul winners. Our training is all about soul winning. So they go back to their churches as ministers of the gospel.
That's amazing. And that's what it's all about. And that's what's amazing about kids ministry is you can really equip teenagers and young adults with tools that will help them be effective, even if they don't stay in kids ministry. Obviously, we would love them to, but even if they find themselves in other avenues of the church, you know, they've gained things during that week that will stick with them for the rest of their lives, which is pretty incredible. So, Alan, you know, a lot of our listeners right now, you know, they're listening from different sized churches, different sized kids ministries. And maybe a church might not be able to start a SALT per se, but they can definitely take things and duplicate things that you're doing. And what I love about, you know, SALT is that it targets teenagers and young adults. What age range are the SALT members each year?
Well, we actually start at 16, and we go up to age 27 or 28. The turning point is not necessarily age. We're not really, you know, ready to kick anybody off or anything like that. But it's the biggest thing is marriage, jobs, careers. That's where our turnover is simply from that. Almost everybody wants to come back. And in fact, I've never heard of anybody that said they didn't want to come back. But it's the regular life is the turnover of, you know, careers, jobs, marriages, and people moving off is why people leave. But 16 is where it starts. Although we know that, even in junior high, we can get those. We have seen where junior high kids can be involved just as much. We just started at 16 because we don't have enough beds to have all the junior high kids. But we know that junior highers can do it too.
That's great. And I think I speak for a lot of, you know, kids pastors, kids ministry leaders that really believe that, you know, teenagers and young adults, I mean, that's kind of the hot commodity as far as volunteers. You know, if you can have young people in your kids ministry, you know, first of all, kids love teenagers. They love young adults automatically. They look up to them, you know, and so they already have an influence, but they bring that energy. They bring that youth. They bring the savviness or whatever, the creativity. And obviously people of all ages can do that, but there's really something special about teenagers and young adults. So let's kind of unpack that as far as, you know, someone who's a kids pastor and either if they have teenagers that are in their ministry, or maybe teenagers that are not in kids ministry, and they would like for them to be involved. They would like for young adults to be involved. What are some things that people can do to empower and encourage or even recruit teenagers and young adults? How do we get teenagers and young adults plugged in into this amazing ministry of reaching out to kids?
Well, we, going back to our original 10 that started this SALT team, we train them, and we would have just different small people. A minister would come in, and we would let them train on children's ministry. You know, a minister came into the church, and we'd get all the young people we could together. And then the young people, they started enjoying working in children's ministry, and then we trained them to the next level. And there's one-way street conventions, there's puppet productions conventions, there's Joey to the World conventions that are really good training that we actually took our young people to. That brought them up to the next level. And training never, it's a no-fail recipe. When you train somebody, that motivates them, and that makes them want to grow. And it's training is the key. But the other thing I wanted to share is getting young people together with other young people. There are many churches that only have one or two young people, and it's really awesome if they could join together with surrounding churches and have rallying points, and they do children's crusades, you know, four times a year together. And that is tremendous. We all need somebody to be with us. We all need a support group. We all need accountability. And so getting them with other young people from surrounding churches is another key point.
I love that. And so once teenagers and young adults are in kids ministry, you know, and once they're teaching and once they're involved on a weekly basis, how can we, and I know what you said there is key, is training, and that's awesome. That's very, very important. But I love what you do with SALT as far as, and you said it before, a lot of your leaders are other SALT members. You know, maybe they've been there for a while, or maybe they're a little bit older. And so I think one of the greatest ways that you can keep and empower teenagers and young adults is to give them, you know, leadership roles. And it might not even be a title, but empower them to take leadership, empower them to encourage and train other people. So what would you suggest as far as that you've seen that works at SALT? How do you empower teenagers and young adults to become leaders in their own right in kids ministry?
Well, one of the things about empowerment is giving them purpose. Purpose very much empowers people. Engaging in them, trusting them, looking at them and listening to them, fully respecting them for who they are and their talents and abilities. A lot of time we just pat people on the back and we just want a warm, cozy feeling. And trusting people is looking at them and saying, not even looking at them on their past performance, but looking at them through God's eyes and saying, wow, you are something that God can use in the future. That's the kind of thing that our young people are looking. That's the kind of thing that will empower them. But then we don't just talk about hearing God's voice. We show them how to hear God's voice. We don't talk about miracles. We show them how God can use them. And we've seen blind eyes open. We've seen broken legs mended. We've seen deaf ears unstopped. And it's not because I laid hands on anybody. I don't lay hands on anybody. But we let young people and children lay hands. And even this summer, we had a young lady that had multiple MS. She had MS anyway. And she had never walked in her life. And a young teenage SALT member prayed for her. And she got up out of her wheelchair for the first time in her life and walked across the auditorium at kids' camp. And empowerment is respecting them enough to challenge them to be used by God. Empowerment is getting them into position to be used by God. That's what empowerment is all about, training them, but then giving them opportunity, give them weekly opportunities to be used by God, give them weekly opportunities to grow.
I love that. And I think that's key is, like you said, you're showing them that respect. You're showing them that trust that they are leaders wherever they are. They are influencers wherever they are, and that's going to build their faith. And I love the stories, and I've seen it firsthand at SALT, is the miracles that can take place. And that all comes, we all know, from building faith. And you know, without faith, we can't please God. And so that's a big point that you stress in your SALT teaching and leading, is building faith and working in faith. And so how can we encourage young adults and teenagers and kids to walk out in faith and to step out in the supernatural, you know, because unfortunately, you know, in this world, you know, the supernatural and working in miracles, you know, is not as common as I believe it can be, but it's alive today in the church. It's that God can use us to see miracles happen. You know, God can use us to see healings happen. And so how can we encourage and empower our volunteers to walk in faith and to see miracles happen, and then in turn have our kids do the same?
Well, it's very interesting. I was able to go to Ethiopia with Billy Cole, and this illustrates this, what our problem, a lot of our problem is, not necessarily our faith, because it just takes a mustard seed of faith to make a miracle happen. But our problem is iPhones and media, and there's so much going on in our mind, and a lot of it is focused. But anyway, I was going to Ethiopia, and I was looking out the window, and I saw about 30 apes out the side of the window. And somebody got on the microphone and said, "Who's looking out the window? We're going to a convention, and we don't have time to look out the window." And he was very serious, and it was me. I raised my hand. I was looking out the window, my first time in Africa. But our focus, and we've got to put everything out of our mind. We do have the faith, but we have to focus. And when we focus and when we pray, don't pray just for a healing. Pray for a healing right now. When you finish this prayer, when you put down your arms, that's the way that God will answer our prayers, but we've got to expect it. We have to have a high expectancy, and we're placing our standards too low that God's not going to answer it. Start placing your standards. God will take care of this, and we barely have a clinic or a workshop teaching kids how to pray, and we call it LABBS. Listen, ask permission, be bold, and listen, L, ask permission, A, build faith, and B, be bold, and then S, seal them from negative thoughts afterwards. That's how we pray for them. But we barely have a workshop on laying hands on the sick where we don't see miracles, signs, and wonders. And God wants to use our children, and he wants to use our young people, and we've seen children used of God mightily, and it can happen, but it takes focus.
That's awesome. Can you go back for us? Because I think a lot of listeners, and myself included, would find that very interesting and helpful. What was the acronym again? Explain that a little bit. It's a prayer workshop on teaching kids how to pray in faith.
Right. It's called LABBS. LABBS. L stands for listen. Listen to who's hurting at school. Listen to see if something has happened. You know, did somebody just go through a divorce? Did somebody hurt themselves? We've had kids bring prayer cloths to kids that got in an accident, and the next day they came home when they were expected to be in the hospital for 7 days. A is ask permission. You know, when you see somebody hurt, you can't lay hands. The Bible says, lay hands on no one suddenly. Ask permission to pray for them. Then build their faith. Give a testimony of how God has answered your prayer. And then the final one is be bold. Be bold and ask for a miracle. And let it happen right now, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Take authority on his word. Take authority on his blood and in his name. And then finally, when we see that the miracle has happened, we actually do this too. We say on a 1 to 10 scale, what is your pain level? In other words, we document the healing. And they might say 5, they might say 10. We had one this summer at the end of the camp. We were leaving camp, and a mother came to pick up her assault kid. And she said, on a 1 to 10 scale, it's a 10 every day. And she was dying of Lyme's disease. We prayed for her, and she said it's a 0 right now. And that's LABBS. And then we prayed for her mind. We sealed her mind that she would not think any negative thoughts of this healing. She got healed completely, and she obviously was healed. But then we sealed off her mind, and that's very cool too. that the devil wants to place negative, oh no, you didn't get healed, but L-A-B-B-S, yes, you did get healed, and we seal the mind from any negative thoughts.
I love that. And I think that is so critical in today's age. Like you said, you know, kids, adults, everyone, we're all just so consumed with media and so distracted and so busy that when we lose our focus, you know, it can affect our faith, and it can affect our capacity to listen to God and to use us to see miracles happen. And so I love that. And that's something that I want to use in our kids' ministry to really empower our kids to walk in the supernatural, to walk in faith. That's incredible. So, you know, on this podcast, we really try to give some practical steps and things that people can use, you know, this week, you know, right away to take their kids' ministry to the next level. So what would you say to a kids' pastor out there? You know, they could have a large number of volunteers. They could have 5-10 volunteers. What could we do this week to really start that culture of empowering our young adults, empowering our teenagers to really take ownership in kids' ministry and to walk in the supernatural? What are some things that they can do? Again, they might not be starting a SALT per se, but what are some things that they can do to create that same kind of culture in their kids' ministry?
Well, my mind really does go 100 miles an hour when you ask me these kinds of questions. When you want to do something this week, the thing that I see that needs to be done, sometimes I think that we're trying too hard to teach, and where we need to just slow down and train. We need to train in the weapons of God. We need to train in prayer and fasting and actually say how we do it and how they can do it, and take a week of training on fasting. Take a week of training this summer at camp. We actually trained our children, 1,200 children, to stand in the gap for others. And before one service was over during the middle of the day, for 20 minutes, the kids were praying for children all around the world. And intercession is not something that's that hard to teach. Standing in the gap for others, and sometimes we kind of take it for granted as Christians, but the children don't know how to do it. Worshiping God. We can teach the children how to worship God and make them leaders in worship on Sunday mornings in the big church. And that's what we need to do. Give them the weapons and show them how to pray. Show them how to talk to God and listen to His voice. But doing the weapons of God, how do you submit to your pastor? That's a weapon. It gives you power, and there's a lot of different weapons. But we need to take down just the general points of being a Christian down to the easiest level and give them bite-sized nuggets. A child can listen to any meat. They can hear any meat that adults do, but we just give it to them like McDonald's in bite-sized nuggets.
I love that. And I think there really is a difference between teaching and training. And so training our kids, not just teaching Bible stories. Bible stories are very important, but doing it with the purpose of training them to walk in faith and to walk in the supernatural. And I think that is so, so key. Alan, before we go, are there any other nuggets, like you said, of encouragement or wisdom you'd like to share with us on this subject before we go on empowering our teens and young adults?
Well, one thing that we do train, and I want to get this across, is we train all of the SALT workers to be altar workers. The altar is where giants come down. They're where giants fall, is at our altars in our churches. And so it's a really a big deal to have that machinery of the altar well oiled, and you can take that any way you want to. Let the anointing fall, and we do. We train our young people heavily in altar, and it's almost always we have 250 kids in youth in our children's camp get the Holy Ghost, and oftentimes they get them in the first 24 hours of our camp because these altar workers are so ready. And the miracles are not limited to young people. We're seeing children rise up as ministers, and they can. We've seen people come out of wheelchairs that children laid hands on them. I've seen broken bones mended. The children. One young lady at camp, she was on crutches, and children prayed for her, and she received her healing. She says, "I know I'm healed, but I can't put down my crutches because my parents would kill me, and then you'd all have to pray for me tomorrow night to be raised from the dead." But she did go to the doctor, and she did come back the next day without crutches. As a matter of fact, she was just 12 years old, but she came back with high heel shoes, and she almost ran across the platform showing off her leg and ankle and foot. And God can use children. There was another young man was getting 15 seizures a day, and just was at the end of his rope, and the children prayed for him, and he never had another seizure. God can use children. It is not, there's no junior Holy Ghost. I've heard you say that, and it's the truth. There's no, they can have the power, but we've got to show them how to use it.
I love it. I love it. And the best way to show them how to use it is for us to do it ourselves. And so that's what's amazing about it. And that's what's great about SALT. You know, I've been able to see it, not the entire 15 years that you've been doing it, but I've been able to see, you know, in a few years of just how it's trickled down, you know, starting with those 10 of how from generation to generation. And now we have, you know, kids when they go to that camp and they see the SALT members, they say, "Oh, well, I want to be a part of that. I want to do that." And then they grow up and they become a SALT member. And so that's what can happen in our churches as far as, you know, empowering these teens and young adults to take the next step, take the next level of just walking in the supernatural, walking in the miraculous. And our kids, when they see that, they're going to desire that as well. And so that's awesome. Well, Alan, thank you so much for being on the podcast. Thank you for sharing these insights. And I really feel like you've helped me, number one. This, you've challenged me as a kids pastor to encourage our, you know, empower our volunteers and our kids to walk in the supernatural, but I know you've helped many others as well. Thank you so much for being on the podcast.
Oh, it's a pleasure and honor. Thank you for having me.
And thank you for those that have been listening to this episode. We hope it has inspired you. We hope it has empowered you, and that we hope it will energize your Kim Min. Until next time, this is Kinetic Podcast. Thank you.